You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Good evening. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Dropping the Gloves. It's a huge show. Arguably the biggest show we've ever had here. We are going to have a potential Hall of Famer on the show, a first ballot Hall of Famer. We're going to have a guy who obviously we've talked about a lot in the season. There's been some controversy. There's been some issues. I questioned his goal scoring ability. We're going to have Alex Ovechkin on the show today. It's going to be epic. It's going to be... I don't even know how it's going to go. He doesn't have a lot of time just because he's in the playoff hunt right now. But like I said, like I've said all season long, I am friends with Alex Ovechkin. We have a friendly relationship. So I reached out to his PR guy. We worked through them. We've been working on this for a couple months now. Finally, they have a couple days where he can fit me into his schedule. We're going to have a quick little chat. I think he's going to chirp me the whole time, Tim. So we'll see. That's going to come later on in the show. It's going to be fantastic. And I'm just going to bury the hatchet. I'm going to say, Alex, listen, I'm sorry. I question your age ability to be able to score at an advanced age. Please forgive me. Do you think he's going to accept my apology, or is he just going to be Russian machine must smash?
I think more than accept your apology. I think he's going to say, thank you, John. You were my motivator. Right.
You're so full of it.
You were my locker whiteboard material. You know, you motivated me to step up my game, and made me realize that I needed to elevate and not slow down. And thank you, John. You're just as much a part of this as I am.
I will say this. The neat part about the whole situation is he did hear about the whole situation, and he did hear about me chirping him. So it'll be fun to kind of – maybe he listens to – maybe he's a friend of the show. Maybe he's just a big Dropper in the Gloves fan. I doubt it. I'm sure someone said, hey, Scotty's talking trash about you. What are you doing? And so, well, we'll see. So I'm very excited. That's going to be the creme de la creme, the cherry on top. It's going to be our best interview ever. I'm very excited about this. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be, I'm a little nervous. I don't usually get nervous when we interview guys, because how often do we get to talk to a Hall of Famer? Yes, we had Ray Bourque on. Yes, we've had other Hall of Famers on the show. But this guy, I've said it before, the best goal scorer to lace him up ever is Alex Ovechkin. It's just hands down. There's nobody who's done it better. The guy is just lights out in his prime. Who else would you want with the puck on the stick in the side slot, in the slot, anywhere, a one timer? Who else would you want other than Alex Ovechkin? Maybe a Brett Hull. He is pretty dangerous, but who else, Tim?
Maybe Jack Hughes the last couple of weeks. Just
you know what I mean? If you lose 8-1 and you score one goals, is that a success? Is that a win?
You can only do so much, John. You can only do so much.
I will say this. When I was with the Hawks, we lost, I think, 9-2 to Edmonton. And that's the game that I think Eberle had like 7 or 8 points. I was plus one.
Gagne
had 7 or 8 points. I was plus one. That was the most demoralizing game I think I've ever been a part of as a hockey player. They just kept scoring. Like literally, they just kept scoring. And we're sitting on the bench like, are you kidding me? They're going to score again? It was so bad. The goalies were bad. We just wanted to get out of there. I think we went after it the night before, and we were a little – we weren't even playing guilty. We were just like, get out of Edmonton as quick as possible. This city is a dumpster fire. And we just got – we got just dominated that night. But I was plus one. All right, Tim. Let's talk about your haircuts. So before the show, and this is for my listeners, I want everyone to post in the comments, how often do you guys get a haircut? I get a haircut once every 4 months, maybe once every 6 months. That's my norms. I go with the seasons. Haircut, let it grow a little bit. Haircut, let it grow. Yes, every 4 months I think I'm due for a haircut. So by the end of the year, I've gotten 3 or 4 haircuts. I was shocked when we started this, when Tim and I started talking before this episode. He said, I haven't had a good haircut in Charlotte yet. And I'm like, well, I'm thinking in my head, how long have you been there? He's been there since January. So three months.
Yeah.
Tell the listeners how many haircuts you've had in 3 months.
I've had three, and I feel like that's not a crazy thing.
That's insane.
Haircut every 4 to 6 months is insane. Your hair must not grow very quickly, though.
It grows.
You just don't care. You just don't care.
Don't care.
You're giving up. But a typical, usually about 6 weeks is what I do. It's about 6 weeks. I had to get one. I got one right when I got here. And then I had to get one. I got one about 6 weeks later, and I had to. Yeah. So it's been about every six weeks, right? 3 months divided by half.
But let's just, you don't have to do anything. You didn't have to get a haircut. You chose to get a haircut.
Let's go back to the core of this issue, is that I haven't found a good place yet. The first one I went to, I didn't like, but it was super close to me. And I'm like, oh, maybe there was just a bad day.
Now, why didn't you like it?
I didn't like the service. I don't think they were very nice. Like, I walk in and there's no one getting their hair cut. There's one lady like sweeping. She had just let someone out. Another guy just like having a soda. They both worked there. Didn't acknowledge me. Didn't like, oh, welcome. We'll be right with you. No, like, hello, how you doing? I just went in and sat down. And then after about 5 to 10 minutes, the guy finally came over and asked my name and like, oh, you're up in a minute, whatever. It was just like, wasn't very good service. And then the haircut didn't come out great. And I was like, okay, it was maybe a bad day. Like, I'll go back. It's so close, so I'll give it another shot. Second time I went, it was worse somehow. And so I was like, all right, I'm never going back there. Went to this other place last week and it was much better, but it was really too quick. They were like, they did the side, they did the top, and I was out in like 11 minutes. And which is like, I don't know, maybe when I'm old like you, that's like the dream. But it was like the little details. You got to like, it's the little details of a haircut. You got to spend some time with it. Make me feel like I'm like, you care about the haircut. And so I don't think I'll go back there again either, which is why I said I haven't found my place yet.
So it was a great haircut.
It wasn't.
They didn't make you feel good. That's what you want.
I want to feel important. You know what I mean? Like my place is in Traverse City. It was like 45 minutes on a haircut, and they're going back over, like they're blending and they're mixing and going back over detail, making sure every single hair looks the way it's supposed to. This was like side scissors up top, spin around in the chair, and send me out.
Are you trying to trigger me right now? Is that what's happening? Are you playing with me? Like, is this for real? Like, I'm just like waiting for you. Like, I'm just teasing. All right. I don't want to get into it, but it's just indicative.
I feel like you do.
It's indicative of you and your generation. You want to feel good. You want to go and get a haircut and have someone say, wow, Tim, your hair, this is beautiful head of hair you got here. Gosh, what have you been up to? Oh, tell me more about you. Tell me more. Talk about you. Oh, you kids are just my ideal haircut. I walk in. I don't make eye contact with anybody. I sit down and they cut my hair and I leave, and it takes 6 minutes. And I give them their $15 to $20 and I leave. And that's what I have now. It's great. You know, the haircut.
$15 to $20?
Well, I'm a baller. It's a $20 haircut. I leave 25. You're welcome. That's 25% tip. That's how I roll. What does your haircut cost in Charlotte? 53?
No, but it was like 35, maybe.
What?
Yeah.
And you do that every month? Oh,
damn. Every 6 weeks. But that's what it was in Michigan too. That's what haircuts cost, John.
And they don't. No, mine's 20. Mine's 20.
Yeah, it shows.
I don't care. I've been married for almost 15 years. I got 7 kids. You think I care what my hair looks like? No, I just want it to be short enough where when I wake up in the morning, I don't have to worry about it too much.
Okay, but what was your haircut process like when you were in college, for example, or like 25?
It's same every 4 months. I'm just not that guy, Tim. I'm not that guy. I'm sorry. When you got a face like mine and I'm tall, like, you don't need a good head of hair. Chicks just, I'm a handsome guy. I know I'm a handsome cat. Okay. My hair is not going to dissuade people from thinking I'm handsome. If anything, I used it as a method to drive girls away when I was single, you know, cause it just was a lot when I was single. Cause I would just get inundated with women. Oh, you're so tall and handsome and athletic and successful. Well, his hair is maybe not all together. Maybe he's not all together. And it worked. And it worked. So maybe I use it as a defense mechanism. Maybe there's something there. We should dig into that. You know, maybe we should. Not today, though, because we got to talk about hockey. We're not talking about anything. There were some big games again last night, Tim. There were some very big games, potential playoff matchups. And I got a little heat on Twitter, which I love. I love to just communicate with the fans. I love to get in just good debates. The Los Angeles Kings. You know, have I been sleeping on the LA Kings all season long? I've lumped them in with the San Jose Sharks and the Anaheim Mighty Ducks in that California core of teams that just have bad contracts and need to regroup and are just kind of not there yet. Don't look now, but the LA Kings are playing really good hockey. And last night they had a playoff type atmosphere when they played the Calgary Flames and they won in a shootout. Am I just totally missing the boat on the LA Kings? Are they a legit threat in the West? Is everybody wrong? Am I wrong? Or are we supposed to be worried that this team could come out of the West and compete for a Stanley Cup?
Do you know where they would be in the East with this, with 87 points, like that amount of points?
They would be probably top five, top six, top seven.
No, they would be out of a playoff spot. They would not even be in the second wild card.
Yeah, that's just how the Pacific is. There just is a, but let's get back to the question. Are we sleeping on the LA Kings? Because listen, they beat a good Calgary Flames team that I have earmarked for the Stanley Cup. Are we missing something with the LA Kings? Or am I right and they're just a few years off and they're just, you know, they're a good team, but they're not there yet? Because people are, you know, they're challenging me on my take. They're saying they got the veteran guys playing well. Kopitar's playing well. They had a good pickup in the offseason with Philip Deneau. They have these young guys playing really well. Adrian Kempe's playing unbelievable this year. They have a good back end. You know, what am I missing something with the LA Kings? Or are they are who they think they are, quoting Danny Green? They are who we thought they were. MAB.
I think they're better than you've given them credit for, and probably me on the show as well. But they're also not a team that I think we're sleeping on in the terms of, oh, could they end up going on a run? Or could they win? Maybe they win the first round, depending on who their matchup is. But even like, I don't know, the Kings or Nashville, I might take Nashville in that, you know what I mean? The Kings in Edmonton, I don't know. Kings in Dallas, I might like Dallas in that matchup. So I don't know.
What about Edmonton? Because right now they slot in. They're playing Edmonton first round if the season ended today. Who would you take in that matchup, L.A. or Edmonton?
I think I would take L.A.
You would take – oh, no kidding. See, yeah. I would probably take the Oilers, and that's because I don't – and I'll be completely frank. I don't spend a lot of time watching the L.A. Kings. I don't spend a lot of time scouting the L.A. Kings just because I think, like the people on Twitter have made apparent, I just don't – care about the LA Kings, and maybe that's my fault. Maybe I should be taking, you know, keeping an eye on these guys. But when, listen, they've played 70 games this year. They don't really have a high powered offense. They have a balanced attack. When your highest scoring guy is Anze Kopitar, who's 30 plus years old and he's only got 57 points, I don't think you're going to make that much of a dent in the playoffs. And if you're relying on Jonathan Quick and Calvin Peterson, they've been good. They haven't been great. They're not putting up outstanding numbers. And you play in a division where night in and night out, you get to play the likes of Arizona, Seattle, Anaheim, Chicago, San Jose. Like, you're playing these cupcake teams. I don't believe you're a very strong team. But then they go out and they win in a shootout versus Calgary last night. So, you know, who am I to say? I think in a seven-game series, they don't have the depth. They don't have the talent to keep up with the Calgary Flames of the world and the Colorado Avalanche. Maybe I'm wrong about Calgary and they're not as good as I think they are, but I think in a seven-game series, Calgary is the type of team that will wear on you, that will grind you down. They play a very good style of hockey that is complementary for the playoffs. So I don't know. Maybe I am sleeping on the Kings. Maybe they should have done something at the deadline. I don't think they should have, but I still don't think they're a legit threat in the West. I really don't. I like the way they're built. I like what they've done. Rob Blake's done a good job there. He set them up for success. They have all kinds of cap space going into next year. They have all kinds of draft capital. They got a good prospects core. They have a lot of good young guys coming up in the system who they didn't just mortgage to try to make a run and go out and get a Jacob Chychrun when you didn't have to get him, you know, at the trade deadline. So we'll see what happens with them. But I can't put them in the contender category. I just can't do it. Can you? Like, they have such a young team. Their average age right now, Tim, minus their goaltenders, because they're like Jonathan Quick, if you take him out of the equation, their average age is 24 years old. And that's so incredibly young for an NHL hockey team. I don't know. Do you have anything else to add? Do you think that they're going to make any noise in the playoffs?
Again, depending on who their first round matchup is.
Edmonton.
If it's Edmonton, I think they win. Yeah, I do. But no, they're not a legit threat. Yeah, they're, like you said, they've done the right things. They're a good team. They'll be good in a few years, but they're not there yet.
I agree. All right. Scary injury, and this one hurt. This one hit close to home for you. There was an injury to Clayton Keller of the Arizona Coyotes. Is this going to be too tough for you to talk about, Tim? Or can you? Are you okay? Do you want to sit this one out?
Yeah. No, I can talk about it. Yeah, Clayton Keller injury two nights ago, crashed into the boards, broke. What do you think? He broke his leg in at least one place, right?
Femur, maybe? I don't know. It looked bad. It looked like his upper leg bone, which is the femur. It was a painful thing to watch. This is the same injury from the looks like that Tim had. So that's why it's hard for Tim. He broke his leg 2 years ago now?
A year ago. Not even, yeah.
So it's still fresh. It's very fresh, and I can tell he's composing himself. He's trying to hold it together. You're very brave, Tim. I could have tough time.
It was hard to watch. I'm going to send it to people. Like, hey, this is what my thing was like. I want to see – I'm going to text my buddy that was skating with me that night and ask him, because I don't really remember it, but ask him, is like, this sort of what it looked like? That's how I remember it. And so, yeah, it's a little close to home. It's hard to watch.
I will hazard a guess and say it wasn't like that, because Clayton Keller is an NHL star and you're not. So maybe it was somewhat similar, but maybe it was. I don't know. Who am I to say?
Is he a star if Sean Avery thinks he's terrible, though?
What's the deal with Sean Avery? You've seen that clip then? Why does he go after Clayton Keller? I don't understand. Is Sean Avery playing with the East Coast Solar Bears yet? How did that thing turn out?
No, he got cut. He got let go.
Why would he go after Clayton Keller? I like myself some Clayton Keller. It's the new age of hockey. This is like, he's the prototypical 2020 type hockey player where he's smaller, he's agile, he can do things with the puck. He doesn't have to worry about being, you know, pasted onto the boards. He's taking advantage of the extra ice because of the way they call the games now. This is the new type of hockey player. I think he's a good player. Yes, he looks like he's 15. Maybe he's not physically imposing. I don't understand what Sean Avery was doing there. So, I don't know. Like some guys, I don't understand. Like, I get you don't like a player, but why just go out of your way to attack somebody and then to use the vulgar language? That's the part that irks me. It's like, you're a role model. Why do you have to swear? Why do you have to just cuss? Can we not? We all adults. Like, why does we have to the lowest common denominator and just go cussing everywhere? I don't know. I don't like that. I told all the other podcasts, because I've been on all of them. I've been on Cam and Strick. I've been on Spit and Chicklets. I've been on all of them. I say I'm not cussing, and I don't want you guys to cuss on this episode. And they honor that. They're very good guys, but I don't know. You swear off there all the time, Tim. Like you're a sailor. I just don't get it. I don't understand.
Can you see it up from up on your high horse up there?
It's a tall horse. It's a very tall horse, and I enjoy it. It's nice up here. The view is good. Speaking of views looking good, Alex Goligoski, some somewhat sleeper news here. He re-signed for 2 years with the Minnesota Wild, 2 years, $2 million per. I didn't even realize Alex Goligoski was still in the league. He's a good defenseman. He's 37 years old, I want to say.
36.
36 years old. This takes him to his 39. He's going to be 37 later this year. The Minnesota Wild, do they have the best decor in the NHL right now? With the addition of Jacob Middleton, they have Jared Spurgeon, Jonas Brodin, Matthew Dumba, Dmitry Kulikov, John Merrill, Alex Goligoski. All these guys are locked up. Which team has a better defense of six or seven than these guys right here? Because an Alex Goligoski is a guy who's just as steady as she go, doesn't make many mistakes, isn't going to, you know, wow you with his offensive talent, but he's just a very reliable defenseman. He can kill penalties. He's going to give you 17 to 19 minutes. He's a guy you can plug in your lineup, goes up and down the lineup. He's so easy. He's just a forgettable guy. But on the back end, what's that, Tim?
Well, you can't have enough of those guys.
Can't have enough of these. Well, I will say this. He's not going to be a 1-2 or 3-4. He's a 5-6. And you can have enough of Alex Goligoski's, but a guy, he makes $2 million. That's a low salary these days. You can put him in. He can play your 15 to 17 to 18 minutes, and he's not going to make any mistakes. He won't put up many points. Maybe he'll get 20, 25 assists, maybe 2 goals. Good signing for Minnesota. Is Minnesota a Stanley Cup contender? Do they have the best defense in the league? Marc-Andre, and what's the deal here? They bring in Marc-Andre Fleury, and he doesn't play. They've been playing the garbage out of Cam Talbot. Every game they played Pittsburgh last night, I thought it would have been a perfect spot to throw Marc-Andre Fleury in there. And they play Cam Talbot. I don't understand what's going on. Why don't they play Marc-Andre Fleury? Are they saving him for the playoffs? Are they easing him into the mix? I don't get it. They lose last night in overtime. I don't even think they're going every other. I think they've given the majority of the lion's share of the net to Cam Talbot. What are they doing? Why aren't they playing the flower? This guy is the first ballot Hall of Famer, the big acquisition of the deadline. You're going to ride this guy into the sunset. He's going to bring the cup back to Minnesota. The XL Energy Center is just chomping at the bit for this guy to play. You're going into Pittsburgh. His previous team, he's won Stanley Cups there. Why would you not play him? I don't get it, Tim. Why?
I think they're sending a message to Talbot. It's like, hey, you've had a pretty good season. The team's in a really good spot. We're bringing in this high-caliber goaltender. We don't want this to mess with our guy. Like, Cam, you're still our guy. You're probably still the starter in the playoffs, maybe with a shorter lease now that we've got Fleury. But you bring him in, and you start playing Fleury a bunch to see what he's got, and all of a sudden, Cam, you know, it's a mental position. He starts overthinking. He's like, hey, why am I not playing? Why did they bring this guy in? And then, you know, if Fleury struggles, Calvert's, you know, in a mental pretzel, and all of a sudden you got two goalies who aren't performing. So I think you want to just send the message that he's still the guy, that bringing in Fleury doesn't make him less important to the team. And I would expect maybe as we get closer, you start to see a split and getting Talbot some rest to get ready for the playoffs. But I think this week it was about just sending that message. What do you think?
Well, Talbot's been playing good. He's won his last 4 or 5 games. He's beaten good teams, Vancouver, Colorado. So he hasn't been playing bad. He's actually been playing lights out. But you can honestly sit here and look me in the eye and tell me that Cam Talbot's game one starter for the Minnesota Wild when they lace up the playoffs for the 2022 season. You can honestly say this with a straight face. Over Marc-Andre Fleury, a guy who's won multiple Stanley Cups. He's won Vezinas. He's got a laundry list of accolades. He's a proven goaltender in the playoffs. And you're going to throw Cam Talbot out there after getting Marc-Andre Fleury at the deadline, the biggest goaltender piece out there. And you're going to have that guy sitting on the bench. You look me and you tell me that. It's unbelievable. You think that. You honestly think that.
What do you think?
No, you know what I think. Marc-Andre Fleury is going to play every single game in the playoffs.
You think so? No.
He has to.
Why?
Because he's Marc-Andre Fleury. Why would you bring this guy in? The pedigree that he has, he's a better...
Then why isn't he playing now?
I think they're waiting for the playoffs. They're resting him a little bit. They're giving him time to get acclimated to Minnesota with the team, this and that. Maybe he's figuring out stuff back home. I don't know. I think they should be playing him. Yes, maybe they're riding Cam Talbot because he's playing really, really well. I think they're maybe making a mistake by not giving the flower the net a little more. But I do think as the season winds down, they have, 12 games left? Minnesota, 15 games left. Fleury will get 10 of those 15, and he's the guy in the playoffs. Unless he just completely implodes in the playoffs and he's a terrible goaltender, which I don't see happening, he gets every single game. Yeah, you have to. Because after the season, if you lose in the first round and you're the Minnesota Wild and you've been switching goaltenders and playing this mind games with these guys and you have your year-end meetings and you're Billy Guerin, you're like, why the heck has that guy not gotten more in the crease? We gave up a ton for him at the deadline. He's Marc-Andre Fleury, for Pete's sake. Why wasn't he in every single game? You don't want to answer those questions. I think you put him in the net if he fails and you bring in Cam Talbot. If you can't mentally wrap your head around that and you're Cam Talbot, you have no business being in the NHL. This is how it works.
Who do you think the players want in net for the playoffs?
Marc-Andre Fleury. Marc-Andre Fleury. Hands down. Why? Why? I'm going to calm down. Why not? Why not? Who has won more Stanley Cups, Talbot or Fleury?
I think Talbot has 5 or 6, doesn't he?
I agree. I think he does in NHL 17 on PS2. Who's got more playoff experience? Who's the better goaltender? They see him in practice. Marc-Andre Fleury, he checks every single box of a guy you want to throw a net. Who's got more international experience? It's Marc-Andre Fleury. Cam Talbot is a heck of a goaltender. He would be the starter, I want to say, on 75% of teams in this NHL. But 75% of the teams in this NHL do not have Marc-Andre Fleury. They don't. So he's the backup. C'est la vie. What are you going to do? You're backing up a first ballot Hall of Famer, a guy who could go down as one of the top three goaltenders in NHL history. You're the backup, Cam Talbot. And to say you're not is crazy. I think Marc-Andre Fleury has to be the most humble guy in the world because he went through the ringer in Pittsburgh. He went through the ringer in Vegas. Now he's potentially going through the ringer in Minnesota where it's just a carousel of net. He had the Robin Lehner situation in Vegas where they bring him in and who knows who the starter is in Pittsburgh. It was it Tristan Jarry or was it
Matt Murray.
And now here we go in Minnesota again with Cam Talbot. At what point when you're Marc-Andre Fleury, when you walk into the GM's office and you just slam all your Stanley Cups and your gold medals and your resume on the desk and you go, put me in the net and stop playing games. I'm Marc-Andre Fleury. Damn it. Play me. I'm the best goalie in the NHL potentially of all time, by the way. And you're putting Cam Talbot out there. I don't get it. That's my argument. So that, yeah, he should be a net day one, game one, without a doubt. Anything you agree or no? You do think Cam Talbot should be in there?
Well, I just don't think it's as black and white as you're making it seem. And I could be wrong. Time will tell.
Why bring him in then? Why bring him in if you don't expect to play him? Just to back up when you bring in a piece like Marc-Andre, then go out and get a Braden Holtby. Go out and get a guy who is a decent backup. You don't have to invest that much into him. And you can just have him, plug him in if you need him, if you're going to rely on Cam Talbot. I think everything is on the wall. It's Marc-Andre Fleury, and then we'll go from there. And they'll bring Cam back in for, you know, next year, and he's our guy. But wait, it's got to be Marc-Andre Fleury. I mean, I don't – it doesn't make sense to me. What does make sense? Getting a deal from DoorDash when I'm hungry and I'm at home and I want to get some food in my old tum-tum. And it makes sense for you too. I want you to get your phone. I want you to go on your computer. I want you to get your tablet. Fire up DoorDash. Use our promo code GlovesDD if you're in Canada. GlovesDDUS if you're in the US of A. Get yourself some stinking DoorDash, some food. It makes you just feel better. Get some food in your belly and you get a good deal on it. And DoorDash is a great company. They're working with us, so you know they got to be the best. So check it out. 25% off, free delivery, DoorDash.com. It's a no-brainer. You can get groceries, you can get anything you want. I don't think they'll bring you gas, but why would you want to buy gas right now when the prices are going through the roof? Get yourself some meatball subs. Boom, DoorDash. Promo code GlovesDD if you're in Canada, GlovesDD if you're in the USA. GlovesDDUS. Check it out, DoorDash. All right, another Western team that we all but wrote off, Tim. The Vegas Golden Knights. They've quietly won three in a row. Robin Lehner is back. They have crept into the wild card situation. It's them. It's the Winnipeg Jets. It's the Dallas Stars. Dallas Stars still have a few games in hand. As of today, Dallas Stars are in that spot. But what's going to happen in the next 10 games? I don't know. Are they slowly, Tim, playing themselves back into the playoff picture? Do you think they're going to make the playoffs? I personally think the West is over. I think Dallas is going to lock it up. Nashville has extended themselves. They're solidly in the first wild card spot. What do you think? You would love to see Vegas make it in, wouldn't you?
Yeah, probably. They've won three in a row, like you said. Robin Lehner is back. He hasn't started yet, but he was backing up Wednesday night's game, I think. So they're trending up right now. And again, as these guys start coming back from injury, don't forget you got the LTIR guys that'll probably be back for the playoffs if they do make a spot. Like if that's the case, are they winning you over a little bit? Like they're a pretty dangerous threat if they do make the playoffs and these guys come back off the IR, right?
This is yes. And the general managers just had their meetings in Florida this past week. And this was brought up, the issue of the LTIR. Does this ruin the competition aspect of this whole thing? Because we've seen the last 2 years, Tampa Bay take advantage of this LTIR. This year, Vegas using the LTIR. As it stands right now, I think over half the league has guys on LTIR, and they're using that to kind of buttress their salary situation, especially this year and last year with the whole flat cap and the whole COVID stuff and everything that goes along with it. if I'm leading the Western Conference, if I'm Colorado and I'm looking at my playoff matchups, I do not want to play the Vegas Golden Knights first round. That terrifies me to think that I'm going to get a team. Okay. Am I going to get the team that they have right now? The first line of Eichel, Stevenson, and Dadonov. That's fine. I would be happy to play that team. If I get to the playoffs and I'm the Colorado Avalanche and I'm all of a sudden facing a first line of Mark Stone, Jack Eichel, and Mats Pacioretty, and all these guys are back healthy and playing, I'm a little upset. I'm calling Gary Bettman and I'm like, what the heck's going on here? Riley Smith's back in it. Braden McNabb's back in it. They have the whole like artillery of weapons that they have that everybody was hoping that we were going to see this year with the Vegas Golden Knights. And they pull the rabbit out of their hat and they somehow make it into the playoffs. This would be a dangerous team in the playoffs. This is the team that I've always wanted to see. This is the team that when they did get Jack Eichel, I was excited to see these guys in the playoffs. The Pacioretty, Stone, Eichel line, that's dangerous. The Marcia Stowe, Stevenson, Carlson second line, that's dangerous, boy. That bumps down all these guys to the third and fourth line. That's a dangerous team. So if I'm the Colorado Avalanche, I'm a little upset. I'm a little perturbed that this is even a thing. Yes, I'm going to cry. This is not fair. I don't like this, but the GMs voted. They say, hey man, like this is the way we're at right now. We're not going to spend too much time on this. We're not going to limit teams from putting teams on the players in the LTIR. But yes, I want Vegas to make the playoffs. I want all of these guys to come off the LTIR and I want to see what they're capable of. That first round matchup with the Knights versus the Avalanche would be epic. It would be two juggernauts going head to head. And I honestly don't know who I would pick. With the full complement of Vegas Golden Knights versus the Avalanche, who are you taking? Honestly, because when you look at the players, they got Theodore, they got Pietrangelo, they got Martinez on the back end, on the up front. It's all stars everywhere for Vegas. And then we all know who Colorado has. Maybe Colorado has a slight advantage. I think Vegas has an advantage in goaltending. Colorado maybe a slight advantage on the back end. And the amount of superstars out there up front, it's just mind-boggling. Is this unfair? We talked about it last year with Tampa Bay. Do I want to see it? You better believe it. Don't you think, Tim? How fun that would be.
That would be a lot more fun than Colorado versus Dallas, for example.
I know. Friend of the show, Joe Pavelski. I'm sorry, but the idea of having those guys back and having playing together all season long and just seeing how it would just work out. Yes, they practice together, but just being able to just drop the puck and you're seeing Stone, Pacioretty, and Eichel on a line together, that'd be cool. Like, that'd be really, really cool. I don't know. I hope it comes to fruition. I don't think it will. I don't think they're getting into the playoffs. But, boy, I really wish that they can continue this winning streak and sneak into that second wild card spot.
I think you could be right. Did you see that hit last night?
Oh, the hit. Yes.
It was
an epic hit. Radko Gudas, a guy who we've been toying to get on the show. He's a tough nut to crack, this Radko Gudas. I want him on the show. I want to talk to him. And he just plays with me. And I don't, you know, I want him on the show. Radko, I know you listen. Come on the show. It's enough is enough. So he just absolutely, it was an epic hit. And I don't know, what are your thoughts on hip checks? Do you think they're a little dirty or do you like them?
Oh, I love them. I love them. Sometimes, I don't know, like growing up, they weren't that common, you know, playing youth hockey, whatever. But sometimes the kid would throw them, but they would go too low and they take out the shins or something. They don't know how to do it cleanly where a guy doesn't get hurt. And I've seen people get hurt. This one's a beautiful hip check. Have you been ever sent over end like that?
I have. It was in college. I was with Michigan Tech. We were playing Team Italy, their national team. And a guy came up and it was a throwaway game. And he came over and I was trying to dump the puck in and he just submarined me and he went really low below my kneecaps. And I went over and I was upset, rightfully so. I'm like, listen, this is a fun game we're playing here, Team Italy. And he just low bridged me. And I went down, I cross checked him in the neck a couple times. Wasn't great. Then we saw him afterwards on the streets of Michigan Tech on Houghton. And let's just say we took those Italian boys behind the woodshed and we beat the tar out of every Team Italian Italy player we saw that night. And it was just not even, we were just, I don't even want to get into it, but Team Italy, they never came back to Houghton again. We honestly, it was literally Team Italy on one side, us on the other side, in the middle of January, ice everywhere, and we were brawling in the street. It was epic, absolutely epic. And I don't know why it started. I don't know what happened, but we just like, and we were a bunch of Western Canadian boys. And I thought, you know, they probably thought, oh, these college guys don't know what they're doing. And these were men, because it was the Italy national team. Like they were 30, 31, 32. And they were talking trash. Yeah, mozzarella. And we were like, let's go. And we beat the tar out of those guys. It was so funny. But anyways, yes, I've been upended like this. The hard part is you're so tall. Like Kirby Doc is 6'4". And you're susceptible to these hits. And if you're not careful, it looks bad. You don't get hurt, but your ego gets hurt pretty quickly. And he went over it. I saw the hit, and I don't verbally gasp or make an audible sound very often. I verbally went, oh, like it was scary to me. I was like, that's crazy. Like that was insane. He went A over tea kettle. Just, it was an epic hit. It was a highlight reel hit. Could be the hit of the year. Just the optics of it, the way it looked. It was a beautifully executed hit. Radko comes across, catches him right on his thigh. Kirby goes over. He's got enough speed to carry him over. And he almost completes the full flip. If he would have tucked his knees a little bit, he could have maybe landed it. He goes down. Radko's, beard and all, just who's going to come and get me? Chicago doesn't have anybody. It was a good hit. I liked it. It was a very fun hit to watch. Friend of the show, Kirby Doc. Ugh. Tough luck.
Better question. Have you ever flipped anybody like that?
No. It's an art to do that hip check. It really is, because you have to time it perfectly and you really commit yourself. So if you're going to hip check somebody and they all of a sudden stop up, you can't stop because you're already coming in back end first and you hit the boards on your own and your head's going smacking against the glass and then the guy's walking in. So you really have to time it perfectly. And I wasn't good enough to do that. Best hip checker ever. Was not Jordan Leopold. It was, what's his name? Minnesota guy. Oh, I can't remember his name. The defense, Keith Ballard. The best hip checker I've ever seen is Keith Ballard. He times it perfectly. He gets low enough. And what makes him so good at hip checking, once he's underneath you, he extends his body up and you go flying. You know, most guys will still stay low. Like that's what Radko did. He stayed low out of just, you know, being nice to the player. Keith will extend upward and it's like a diving board where it goes down and you go flying. Yeah. Keith Ballard, very good hip checker. All right, let's do some quick hits and get out of here, Tim.
Yeah. We saw Mrazek get hurt the other night playing against the Bruins. Came out in the first period. He is out for the rest of the regular season, which brings up an interesting conversation. Cause now Colgren, you have Campbell coming back. Colgren's going to see some playing time. There's possibly a scenario where Mrazek is the odd man out. Maybe not. But he hasn't been played that well. And you think Campbell's going to get the lion's share of the starts, but it's possible that Colgren's that number two there, which would be interesting to watch down the stretch here.
If you're a Leafs fan, you must just be shaking your head. You're going into the playoffs. You have the best team you've had in a long time, decades. Like this is a very good hockey team you have. And you look at your back end and you have Michael Hutchinson and Erik Karlgren as your starting goaltenders. Honestly, like what are we doing here? What? And then you get Jack Campbell back. He's going to step into the playoffs and he hasn't played in 2, 3, 4 weeks. And before that, he wasn't doing very good. I thought Jack was the answer. That was him playing up into the playoffs and working out his game and figuring things out. Now he's coming off the couch, rehabbing his injury, and you're going to throw him in. Hopefully he gets a couple games in before he, you know, hits the playoffs, but it must be frustrating being a Leafs fan, knowing that this is your chance. You have a really, really good team. You know, you've answered a lot of questions. You brought in a couple good pieces at the deadline, but Auston Matthews is playing his best hockey. Mitch Marner is playing his best hockey. John Tavares has shaken off his little funk that he was in. He's been playing really good hockey. Willie Nylander, yeah, maybe not so much, but you have a lot of good players. So they're not going to do anything, the Leafs. They're not going to win. They might win one round. I've changed my tune on them. I don't think they're going to do anything. They didn't address anything at the deadline other than getting Mark Giordano, who's played okay. He's an average defenseman at this point in his career, and they brought him in, and he's played average. And so, yes, big deal. That's a big deal. Not that Mrazek's hurt, but that they don't have goaltenders for the playoffs. They don't have anybody. Speaking of the Leafs, Matthews gets his 50th. Yay! Guess what it was? Empty netter. What a joke. Empty netters goals. How many does he have, do you think?
I want to look it up.
How do you look it up? There's a stat that tells you how many empty netters you have.
Yeah, one of the websites does it.
And then go find out how many Wayne Gretzky had, because I'd be interested to know if they have those stats. I bet you they don't. But if Matthews gets his 50th last night, very big feat. Good for him. It's a very defensive minded league now. I bet you five of his are empty netters. I don't think that it's the extent as of Alex Ovechkin, but I bet you he's got five of his 50. Matthews is he's a stud. He's a goal scorer.
Matthews, he's got four this year.
Yeah.
Six, seven his total career. So not
how many did Gretzky have? His whole career. Guy's got how many goals total? Millions of goals. How many empty netters do you think he has? I bet you he's got 30 empty netters his whole career. Tell me, Tim.
56.
56.
Yep.
How many goals does he have total in his whole career?
894.
That's not that many. What does Ovechkin have? Come on. Let's do it. I bet you 47?
Yep.
How many goals does he have total?
772.
Yeah, Gretzky's better. I'm just kidding. I don't know. Imagine have that many empty netters. That's incredible.
You know who's third? You played with him.
Who? Patty Kane?
Yes. No. Close.
Taser. Hossa's third. He's a very good defensive forward. That's why they put him out there all the time in that situation. I believe it. Very underrated player. Still getting paid, I think, by the Arizona Coyotes. Good for him. Good for Arizona taking on this contract. They're paying like Hossa, Datsyuk. I think they tried to pick up Ryan Kessler at the deadline. The deal didn't go through. They love paying guys. All right. Big beatdown last night. Bruins beat the Devils. But you're happy because Jack Hughes got a goal. So it was a win-win for you, right, Tim?
Win-win. Beautiful game. We were scoring like every couple minutes. It felt like one got called back, which I didn't really agree with. But, yeah, of course, the Devils' lone goal was a beauty by Jack Hughes. The cool thing in this game – they recently signed, this is the time of year where they're signing all the college kids, not the college season's over. They signed a guy named Mark McLaughlin, who's from Billerica, Mass, Massachusetts native, who played at Boston College, has made his NHL debut last night for the Boston Bruins. Dream come true. He had more than 50 friends and family in the building last night. Scored his first goal in his debut. Beautiful one-timer on a two-on-one with Trent Frederick, and Severson played it terribly. Right in the slot, get down on the knee with a one-timer over the goalie's shoulder. Great, great moment for that kid. Really, really cool.
Very exciting. 50 tickets. That's a lot. Dang, that's a lot of tickets. Playing on the third line, too. That's a good start when you get to play with Charlie Coyle and Trent Frederick. Bruins, not so quietly. I like myself some Boston Bruins. Boy, oh, boy, they're going to be a team to watch in the playoffs. Sorry. My MVP, Jonathan Huberdeau, just broke an NHL record, Tim. Do you know how long the NHL has been in existence?
Like 20, 25 years? How long has it been?
Something like that. A long time. Like a long time. He just set an NHL record for most assists in a single season by a left winger. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that, like, honestly, just to wrap your head around that, the NHL has been around for a long time. Like a long time. And he just set a record and no one cares. And he's not going to win the MVP because he's not sexy enough. He got 70 assists, and he's going to get more. He might even get 80 or 90 assists this season. No one's talking about Jonathan Huberdeau. It's a shame. The guy should be the MVP, him or Roman Josi. It's a travesty to the game if one of those two guys doesn't get the MVP this year. Very cool stat. You probably don't like it because he doesn't score too many goals. You kids drive me nuts.
I love it, but what's even crazier, he broke the record. There's still 15 games left.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's going to get a lot of points.
I just said that. Do you not listen when I talk? Tim?
What did you say?
Exactly. Go get a haircut. All right. Nathan MacKinnon returned. Very exciting. Everyone thought he was going to be out for an extended period of time. Like I said, a break in the hand is not a very big deal. Everybody breaks their hands in a fight. It happens. You just have sore hands. He's back. Back better than ever. Colorado is going to be just a team to watch, I would imagine, in the playoffs. We'll see how they can just shake off some of those demons, you know, get the monkey off their back in the playoffs. Maybe they can win some games. Speaking of games, it's time, Tim. I've been on a hot streak with PointsBet. I nailed it. I went 4-6 on Monday or Wednesday. I can't remember what it was. I'm feeling good. Are you feeling good about this week's matchups, Tim?
I am. Yep. And I'm thinking a little bit outside the box again. We're not going with the money line. We're going.
You always think outside the box. You're just such an outside the box. Tim very rarely colors inside the lines.
Yeah, just a little about me. I like to think outside the box. Okay. The Blues are playing in Edmonton tonight. I'm going with the over. Both of these teams like to let up goals. This is going to be a high-octane game. The Blues, by the way, the last couple of weeks, listen to the goals that they've let up. 4 against Winnipeg, 3 against Pittsburgh, 5 against Columbus, 2 against Washington, 5 against Philly, 7 against Carolina, 1 against Vancouver, and then 3 against Vancouver. So they like to let up goals. I would say quick average, maybe 3.5 goals a game they're letting up in the last 3 weeks. So I think this is going to be a barn burner. So I'll take the over there.
I like that. Go the over. I'm just going to pick winners. I like doing this. You know what I was thinking? We should each of us next year with PointsBet, we each set up an account and we'll bet $10 on each game. And we'll see at the end of the season who has more money in their account. And we'll just do straight up money line, win loss. So if you bet 10 bucks, you might only win 11 if it's Tampa Bay versus Seattle. And at the end of the year, we'll see who has more money. And then the loser gives their money to the winner.
I thought you were going to say donate to charity or something.
No, we're for profit in this joint. No, you can, if you win, you can donate yours to charity. Tim, I have 6 kids with another one on the way. I get emails and letters from people saying, not from people, from my old school, can you donate money to this cause or different churches or different religious things? Can you donate money? I hide those from my wife because she always donates money. I'm like, no, man. Do you know how much university costs these days? Do you know how much weddings cost? I have 6 girls with potentially one more on the way. I'm going to have 7 kids in a few months. Do you get that? I can't be giving money away, man. Like, I'm going to be in 10 years. I'm going to spend so much money on university. I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be so stressful. It's going to be crazy, but let's do this points bet next year. We'll start fresh, or we can do it for the playoffs. Maybe that. Yes. We'll do it for the playoffs. That'll be so fun. It'll be harder to pick the games, but it'll be so fun. Not a lot of money, $10 per game. So what? It's like 50 bucks a day. Tim, you crap 50 bucks a day. You're just walking around with 50 bucks hanging out of your pocket every day. It's crazy. You get a just don't get a haircut.
We'll get a haircut that week.
Yeah. So I'm going to do winners. Predators Sabres, game one. Gosh, the Sabres have been playing really well. They've been playing good hockey. They've almost spoiled my bet on Wednesday. They eked out. Speaking of this, what did you think of the shootout win, Blake Wheeler versus the Sabres? 5 of the 6 goals were just, it was a goal bonanza. Did you see Blake Wheeler's goal? Did you think it was a good one or a bad one?
Didn't like it. People were upset about it. I don't blame them.
I don't blame him either. I don't think it was a goal. He stopped. Refs got to be better than that. All right. I'm still taking the Predators. I think they need to win. They're not 100% in the playoffs right now, so I think they're going to be a little more motivated than the Sabres are. Blackhawks, Lightning, that's an easy win. Islanders, Rangers. The Islanders have been playing good hockey, and the Rangers have been skidding a little bit. I'm going to take the New York Islanders on this one. That's my going against the grain a little bit. Senators, Red Wings. I don't know what team you're going to get out of the Red Wings on night in and night out. One night, they are super competitive, and they go to overtime, and they're just a tough out. The next night, they lose 11-2. Senators, I'm going to take the Red Wings. You know, Michigan guy, got to take the Red Wings. Blues, Oilers, I'm taking the Blues on that one. Knights, Kraken. I'm taking the Knights. Will the Kraken ever win another game? I don't know. Ducks, Coyotes. I'm taking the Coyotes on that one. They've been playing really good hockey. The Ducks, like I said in our power rankings earlier this week, they're my worst team in the NHL right now. They just cannot figure it out. They can't get out of their own way. So I'm taking the Coyotes. So everybody, bet money on all those games and you will win money. Taking the Predators, the Lightning, the Islanders, the Red Wings, the Blues, the Knights, and the Coyotes. It's a guaranteed win on 4 of the 7. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Other than that, we forgot about Ovechkin. This is crazy. Why did we do this? Oh my gosh. Okay. We will have to push Ovechkin next time. I'm sorry, everybody. That was my mistake. I will make up for it next time. I hope everybody has a good day and April Fools. Cheers, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.